This is James speaking.
James, hello, Richard here.
Oh, hello, Richard. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you, James?
Wonderful. I'm glad that you were able to get in contact with me. I've been looking forward to this interview for a while. Do we want to go ahead and get started immediately?
Yes, let's do that.
All right. Now, this will be broadcast on AVFM, so here we go.
Fantastic.
And joining me now is Richard Cummings from the Patriarchal Research Institute for Corporate Communication. Perhaps you'd like to introduce yourself and tell our listeners a little bit about your institute, Richard.
It's a pleasure to be here, James. My name is Richard Cummings. I'm senior spokesman for public relations at the Patriarchal Research Institute for Corporate Communications. Our institute has been working for over 80 years to help corporate America institute patriarchal systems of management and planning in their business practices.
That's pretty interesting there. Can you elaborate on what exactly your institute does? What kind of specifics of how you work with corporate America?
Okay, well, look, perhaps a short history lesson is in order then.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, in 1931, our founder, Eric E. Masterson, realized that the general structure of the most productive and successful corporations in America closely mirrored the patriarchal power structure of society. In fact, corporations that attempted to implement flatter or more distributed management arrangements, such as we see in less developed nations and third world countries, appeared to him to be doomed to failure. His groundbreaking innovation was to begin marketing patriarchy as a corporate strategy, and that fundamental realization has enabled the Patriarchal Research Institute for Corporate Communications to continue its work to this day.
Wow. So this realization that your institute's founder had, it presumably resulted in some kind of service or product that you're selling to corporations?
Yes, indeed. In fact, most of America knows us by the name of one of our most famous packages marketed to companies. That is the glass ceiling you've no doubt heard of. We first started advertising the glass ceiling in the early 1970s as a way of helping corporations deal with the influx of female workers. It was obvious to researchers at our institute that allowing women into management positions would be disastrous for corporate profits. So we devised a way of preventing them from rising up the corporate ladder without making it obvious that they were being obstructed. We're quite proud of that accomplishment and the fact that that information did not become available to the public until the early 1980s.
So you feel that corporations that fail to adhere to patriarchal standards of management and operations are less likely to succeed?
Well, our studies bear this fact out, yes. Male managers are most productive when they're able to hire attractive women to admire their accomplishments, whilst having a group of younger men working hard beneath them and competing to gain future advancement. Adopting this model at every level of an organization has a flow-on effect that directly correlates to corporate profits, and we're very confident in our findings. Our institute works hard to help corporations adopt a corporate model that will facilitate that environment.
Now, you've briefly mentioned women entering the workplace in the 1970s. Has feminism provided any challenges to your institute?
Certainly it has, James. When feminism first began to gain popularity among malcontents in America in the 1960s, we realized that it had the potential to make American corporations less profitable. With women entering the workforce in significant numbers in the 70s, as we said, because of changes brought about by feminism, they expected to be hired on their merits. Now, this clearly wasn't possible. So the Patriarchal Research Institute for Corporate Communications began reaching out to American universities and other tertiary institutions to encourage them to lower academic standards so that women would be able to graduate from courses. This meant managers in corporate America could continue to employ attractive young women whilst appearing to have performed the necessary due diligence in the hiring process.
Oh, wow. So, that's pretty good. So that's, you know, that's
we're very proud of our achievements, James.
That's certainly one way to do it. So your institute has basically helped to work around the disadvantages brought to the workplace by feminism. What about things like sexual harassment policies?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. There's a general misconception about the impact that sexual harassment policies have had on the corporate power structure. The most important change, and one that our institute helped pioneer, is that women no longer realize that they're being sexually objectified. That's crucial. The process of sexual objectification, crucial to male productivity, needs to be invisible to the women being objectified. In fact, we run classes for senior management types, instructing them in how to more effectively engage in sexual objectification of female employees. It's one of our most popular workshops.
That sounds almost openly sexist, according to some people. I mean, hasn't your institute faced some criticism for that?
Yes, and we take that criticism very seriously, James. To borrow a little hyperbole from our detractors, we're not interested in turning corporate America into some version of Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, you certainly can't have sexual relations with your secretary, for one. As I stated earlier, the statistics our institute has generated over the last 80 years clearly indicate that healthy, patriarchal sexual interaction with subordinate women forms a cornerstone of corporate profits. Corporate America needs a certain number of women in positions where both their labor and their looks can be exploited for the benefit of American business.
When you say exploited...
In the same way that you'd exploit any natural resource, James. You know, we're not advocating slavery here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Obviously not.
So I imagine that after all this time, you could say that your institute has feminism pretty well in hand.
I think so, yes. At this point, the best feminist researchers out there are still about two decades behind us in terms of understanding corporate strategy. We like our clients to feel assured that they can maintain patriarchal management structures and practices, even in the face of social movements that seek to redirect corporate productivity towards, well, less deserving minorities.
Ah. So we've talked about the past as far as, you know, how this has come about. What are you guys doing right now?
All right, well, let's talk about that, James. The Patriarchal Research Institute for Corporate Communications, or PRIC for short, is currently offering what we call the Glass Corporation multi-level package for Fortune 500 companies. We include our standard glass ceiling base package, and then also include the glass wall. Now, that's a strategy designed to deter sideways career mobility for women in corporate America, preventing them from damaging the productivity of multiple departments within an organization. On top of that, we add the glass parachute strategy, where women who have been unable to gain promotion previously are parachuted into managerial positions of failing corporate departments so that they can take the blame when that portfolio is no longer profitable.
Well, that's an incredibly well thought out group of products there. I imagine selling like hotcakes.
It's been a very successful product grouping for us, yes. It wouldn't have been possible without the various members of PRIC working to seed our founder's vision. We're also working with a number of companies to implement unisex bathrooms with unisex urinals for lower ranked employees. Now, this is designed to encourage younger corporate workers to become more comfortable with subtle masculine gestures in the workplace, helping them to make the transition to the managerial level at a later point in their careers.
That's a great idea. But what does the future hold for your institute, Richard?
Well, we're always striving to find ways to make patriarchy work harder for corporate America, James. Our latest innovations are designed to make exploiting women in the workplace more efficient than ever before, resulting in more virile working environments for men. Our ongoing research into globalization is allowing us to bring the benefits of patriarchy to less productive cultures, whilst increasing profits for American businesses to levels previously unseen. We're also looking to add technology products to our portfolio in the next 5 years, with the hope that we can improve coordination between male department heads and the female employees they choose to fraternize with.
Well, that was amazing. Look, I really appreciate you going ahead and sitting down with me and having this interview. And I'm definitely going to make sure that this is put up on our radio show.
Look, thank you very much, James. It's been a pleasure. We at PRIC have been watching the growth of A Voice for Men with great interest, and we can see that your target demographic is very likely to make up the next generation of standard bearers for patriarchy, and we look forward to seeing that zeal for a male-positive culture enter the corporate workplace. Moreover, it's great to see that you have a number of token women on staff to add legitimacy to your organization. It's like you've been reading out product brochures.
No. It's
you guys have done. No, honestly, you guys have done a great job. Thank you very much for having me, James.
Thank you very much, Richard. You have a nice day.
And you.